Last night in the Taraweeh, the 17th para was Alhamdulillah recited, and the 17th para comprises of Suratul Anbiya and then followed by Suratul Hajj. The first surah, Suratul Anbiya, as the name suggests, many of the incidents and names of the Anbiya alayhimus salam have been mentioned in the surah. Approximately 17 Anbiya alayhimus salam have been mentioned in the surah, hence the name Suratul Anbiya. Being a Makki surah, here too the fundamentals of deen have been established and the proofs of Tawheed particularly have been elaborated. The first verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ, that the time for reckoning for the people has drawn close, whereas, and yet they are in a state of negligence and they are turning away, they are averse. Time of reckoning has drawn close, whereas from the time of the revelation of the Qur'an Majeed till now, over 1400 years have already passed. But yet Allah Ta'ala mentions that the time for reckoning on the day of Qiyamah has drawn close. According to the principle, كُلُّ مَا هُوَ آتٍ فَهُوَ قَرِيبٌ, anything which is to come, you can say that it is close. And we are warned that Qiyamah will come and then reckoning of the people will take place. But Allah Ta'ala says that people are in a state of negligence and they are averse and they fail to take heed. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that whenever a new advice of Allah ta'ala comes to them in the form of the Qur'an Majeed, these disbelievers, they listen to it in jest. وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ, in other words, in a playful way, in jest, and لَاهِيَةً قُلُوبُهُمْ, in a condition that their hearts are completely heedless. In other words, they make it seem that they are listening to the whatever is being revealed, but in reality they have no intention whatsoever to take heed. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions many of the baseless arguments and the stubborn statements of these disbelievers, the mushrikeen, that they, amongst the very baseless arguments and stubborn statements they made was, in hada illa basharum mislukum, that this, referring to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this person, how can he be a Nabi? He is just a human being like yourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in response to that mentions further on that whichever Anbiya alayhimu salam we had sent before were in the form of man illa rijalan. In other words, they were human beings, they were men, and we send down revelation to them. If you don't know, then ask of those that know, that all the previous Anbiya alayhimu salam, not a single one was none other but a human being, he was not an angel. And concerning them, Allah Ta'ala mentions they were human in the true sense. They had bodies like how we have bodies, and they eat food. In other words, they had to sustain their bodies. They also were in need of eating food. And وَمَا كَانُوا خَالِدِينَ, and never, and none of them were such who remained alive eternally and forever. Therefore, these people who desire that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must pass away, and then it is the end of the story, that Allah Ta'ala mentions that all the other Anbiya alayhi wa sallam who also came, they were humans, and also they died as normal human beings, also pass away on their appointed times. So therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also a human being. This is not unique for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the other Anbiya were the same. Further, amongst their baseless statements concerning the Qur'an Majeed, they say, قَالُوا أَدْغَاثُ أَحْلَامٍ, that the Qur'an Majeed is just a result of some confused dreams, and then they also said that it is jadu, it is sihr, it is black magic. The point was that the kuffar could never deny the influence the Qur'an Majeed had upon the hearts of the people, and it was in such a way that they could never deny it. But because they refused to accept it to be the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they brushed it off as black magic, and we all know magic is such which has strange effects on people. So they also said that the Qur'an-i-Majeed which is recited upon people and it has an effect on them, it is none other but black magic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elsewhere in the Quran Majid, Allah ta'ala answers that if the Quran Majid is not the word of Allah ta'ala but the word of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you all know he was born amongst you, he was completely untutored, never did he get formal any type of education from anybody, and you regard yourself to be experts in the Arabic language, very eloquent in speech, then why can't you produce the like of the Quran Majid in any way, even one surah? Forget more than that. You can't do that. So from that is enough evidence that this is not the word of Allah, of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same thing they mentioned further on, baliftarahu bal huwa sha'ir. That they say Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forged the Quran Majid from his own side and falsely attributed it to Allah ta'ala, and they also say he was a poet. And they were forced to say these things because they knew that if they brand Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a poet, which means the Quran Majid is a collection of poetry of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, na'udhu billah. And normally poetry has also an effect on the minds and hearts of people, although many a time it is void of any truth and reality. So this is what they were trying to say, that the Quran Majid is void of truth and reality, although it has an effect on people. The similar answer is given to them that that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a poet. You are more expert and eloquent in the Quran Majid. Therefore, if it was so, then why can't you produce the like of the Quran Majid in any way? Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that the creation of the skies and the earth and the other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them as idle amusement. There was a specific purpose for the creation of the heavens and the earth, and that we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after now understanding that this is through the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions a proof of Tawheed. And this proof of Tawheed is based on logical deduction and analysis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in a logical way that there can't be more than one deity and creator of this universe. It is only one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says, لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَفَسَدَتَا. That in the heavens and in the skies, in the heavens and the earth, if there were many deities besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the heavens and the earth, there would have been chaos in the functioning of the universe. The point is that if there were more than one God, then, and each one is completely independent and sovereign, it is impossible that both can agree in every aspect and everything between themselves. It is impossible for them to agree. And this will ultimately then lead to chaos in the functioning of the universe. And since the universe is functioning perfectly well, therefore from that we come to know that there can't be more than one deity. There is only one Ilah. There is only one Allah who is the creator and the sustainer of the universe, or else there would have been great conflict and chaos in the functioning of the earth. Logically, Allah Ta'ala in this way proves that there can't be more than one God, more than one deity in this universe. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions again his great creations, that Allah ta'ala says, don't the people of kufr, the disbelievers, see that the skies and the earth were once closed and Allah ta'ala then opened them up. Before the creation of Adam alayhi salam and insan, and before the creation of life on this earth, the skies and the earth were closed. Closed in the sense that no rain was coming down from the skies and no vegetation was growing from the earth. But once life was put onto the earth in the form of humans and others, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the skies and rain came down and opened the earth and vegetation started growing. Allah ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ kulla shay'in hayy. And from water we created and made every living thing. Water is that essential commodity with which no life can be sustained. It is life. And the famous saying goes that water is life. So the importance of water is mentioned here, that Allah, it is through water that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything and sustains life in its entirety. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning these kuffar who were wishing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must die, must pass away. Allah ta'ala says, no human being before you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lived in an eternal way. أَفَإِمْ مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ If you are to pass away, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are they going to stay forever? In other words, they are desiring that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must pass away. Is it because now they are going to stay forever? Allah Ta'ala reminds everyone, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, that every soul is to taste of death. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that we are testing you with good and bad conditions as a test, as a fitna, a trial for you, that who in which condition submits to the will and obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who turns away from the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just continues for the first half of the surah, which is about the quarter, and after that, the second half of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning all the Anbiya alayhimus salam and some of the incidents of these Anbiya alayhimus salam, beginning with the incident and story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which was mentioned many a time. But at this point, Allah ta'ala mentions the incident that to make them understand, Ibrahim alayhi salam found an opportunity to break the idols which these people used to worship. And because of that, then they flung Ibrahim alayhi salam into a blazing fire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the fire, Ya naru, kuni bardaw wa salaman ala Ibrahim, that, O fire, become cool and safe for Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the fire did not harm Ibrahim alayhi salam in the least bit. Allah ta'ala showed his great qudrat that despite their wanting to burn Ibrahim alayhi salam in the fire, but the fire became a place of tranquility and peace and safety for Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah ta'ala says that those who tried to plot in this way against Ibrahim alayhi salam, فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَخْسَرِينَ, we made them from the worst of the losers. In other words, they were completely they were losers in this regard, that they failed in their objective of harming Ibrahim alayhi salam. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala mentions concerning the incident of Nuh alayhi salam, when he was informed that no further person is going to bring iman. He then, Nuh alayhi salam, then made dua for the destruction of his nation, and then Allah Ta'ala through the flood destroyed his nation. Thereafter, concerning Dawood and Sulaiman alayhimus salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam was the son of Dawood alayhi salam, the great kingdom and vast kingdom which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed them with. Besides being a Nabi, they had Allah ta'ala appointed them as kings over a vast kingdom. And their kingdom was not only confined to human beings, but all the other creations also were under them, including the mountains, the winds, the animals, the birds, etc., were all under the subservient to them in obedience. Some incidents of them are mentioned here, and thereafter Ayyub alayhi salam's incident is mentioned. Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with great bounties in the form of health, wealth, children, etc. But to test Ayyub alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala withdrew these ni'mat, but Ayyub alayhi salam remained patient and he remained focused towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala then granted him shifa, and Allah Ta'ala returned all these bounties to him. That incident is also mentioned here. The incident of Yunus alayhi salam, the person of the fish, where he was swallowed by a giant fish, and he remained in the belly of the fish for some time. And here it is mentioned clearly that in those times he kept on reading this dua, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin, referring to the fact that without the explicit command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had left his nation after warning them that in 3 days a punishment is going to come. And on this he regarded himself of doing wrong, and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Further on, Allah ta'ala then mentions the other Anbiya alayhi salam stories also, and Allah ta'ala towards the end of that mentions that all these Anbiya alayhi salam were such, yusari'una fil khayrat, that they used to hasten towards doing good, and they used to call out to us in conditions of hope and fear, and they were always humble and submissive in front of us. These are conditions, these are qualities which we also should instill within us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that whoever does good deeds in a state of iman, فَلَا كُفْرَانَ لِسَعْيِهِ, his efforts will not be shown disappreciation. Allah ta'ala will appreciate each of his efforts, and every action he does, a good action, no matter how small or outwardly trivial, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna lahu katibun. We record all his deeds, no matter how small, and he will be rewarded for all his actions. Towards the end of the surah, Allah ta'ala mentions, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. The O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have not sent you but as a mercy for the people of the world, for the whole universe. We have sent you as a mercy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's message to the people was to grant salvation to the people by accepting the message of Tawheed. And in this way, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an embodiment of mercy for the people of the world. Next surah is Suratul Hajj. This surah being a Madani surah, but despite that, many fundamentals of deen are also explained here, which are normally found more in the Makki surahs. But here, many of the fundamentals of deen are also explained here. In the beginning, Allah Ta'ala mentions the terrible and frightening scenes of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala says that Qiyamah will be in the form of a great earthquake. And on that day, because of the frightening scenes, every nursing woman will forget the child, her suckling child, she will forget, and every pregnant woman will abort, in other words, her child, her fetus will then drop off, and you will see people in a state of intoxication, whereas in reality they will not be intoxicated. Because of the frightful scenes of Qiyamah, people will be in a condition that they will be out of their senses, like an intoxicated person. But in reality, they will not be intoxicated. Instead, Adab Allahi Shadeed, the punishment of Allah Ta'ala is very severe. Because of that, this will be their condition. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then mentions that those people who deny that there is life after death, that people will be resurrected, Allah Ta'ala mentions two proofs, that ponder over these two conditions, and then your answer will be there concerning life after death. That Allah Ta'ala has the power that after death he can resurrect the people, although after death they have turned to dust in their graves. But yet Allah Ta'ala can resurrect them. Allah Ta'ala mentions first proof, that ponder over the development of the human. His initial condition, Allah Ta'ala says, Inna khalaqnakum min turab. We created you, O mankind, from sand. Our father Ibrahim, Adam alayhi salam, he was created directly from sand. Thumma min nutfa. And then the remainder of the human species, they were created from a drop of semen. And then the different stages that the fetus continues in the womb of the mother, then they became a clot of blood, and then a lump of flesh, fashioned and not fashioned. In other words, some are full term, and the fetus developed into a child, which is completely normal, but some of them are deformed with the will of Allah Ta'ala. And then they remain in the wombs of their mothers till an appointed time, which we now know about, which is normally 9 months. And then we extract you from the wombs of your mothers in the condition that you are a child. Then you reach the age of your strength. In other words, you become young and strong. And then Allah Ta'ala says, some of you we give them death at that time already in their youth, and some of them we return them to old age. that old age where a person sometimes doesn't know, after knowing, he doesn't know anything. In other words, he becomes senile. Allah Ta'ala protect us from such conditions. But anyway, if a person ponders over this whole scene of the development of a human from the time of inception till he then passes away, from there you can understand Allah Ta'ala has power over everything. When Allah Ta'ala can create the first time, then what is it difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create the second time, to recreate and resurrect a person after he had passed away? The second proof Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ حَامِدَةً, you will see the earth that it is completely barren. فَإِذَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءَ, then when we send down the water, the rains, اِهْتَزَّتْ, the same earth which was completely barren and dry, it stirs to life. وَرَبَتْ, and it starts to flourish. And وَأَمْبَتَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ زَوْجٍ بَهِيجٍ, and then it grows all the different species of vegetation which we can think about, and it grows. So that land which was completely barren, outwardly completely without any form of life, but with one rainfall, Allah Ta'ala brings it to life. So what is it difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that after we pass away, for Allah Ta'ala then to resurrect us and bring us back to life? Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions some of the conditions of those who bring iman and do good actions, what bounties and jannat Allah Ta'ala had prepared for them. And on the contrary, those who are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the difficult conditions which they will have to face in the form of the punishment of Allah Ta'ala, that has been described, that they will be made to wear clothes of fire, and boiling water will then be poured over their head, and which will scorch their inner conditions of their stomachs and their skins. And for them there will be hammers made of iron, which they will be beaten with. And each time they will think of escaping from the punishment of Allah Ta'ala, they will be returned back into the fire and told to taste the blazing fire which Allah Ta'ala had prepared for them. All these conditions have been mentioned here. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then mentions concerning Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala showed him the location of the Baytullah. The initial those who initially constructed the Baytullah was Adam alayhi salam with the angels. Then the time of the floods of Nuh alayhi salam came, and the whole structure of the Baytullah was destroyed. However, the foundations were there still, but they were completely covered and no one knew of them. Allah Ta'ala showed Ibrahim alayhi salam the location of the Baytullah, told him, and to him was his son, they constructed the Baytullah. Mention of it was made previously in the first para also. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam was ordered that announced to the people concerning Hajj, that they must come for Hajj. Ibrahim alayhi salam, as it comes in the ahadith, submitted to Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah Ta'ala, this is a completely uninhabited place. I am going to announce, who is going to listen to my announcement? Allah Ta'ala told him, you make the announcement for the people to come for Hajj, and for those who have been destined by Allah Ta'ala in the taqdeer that they will perform Hajj, I will make sure that your voice reaches them and they will respond by labbaik, and they are the ones who will be blessed with the opportunity of making Hajj. That incident is also mentioned here. Some other injunctions and rituals concerning the performance of Hajj is also mentioned here. The sacrificial animal which is sacrificed at the time of Hajj is also mentioned here. Allah Ta'ala mentions concerning those animals that the لَيَّنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا, that when you sacrifice those animals for Allah Ta'ala, it is not their flesh and their blood which reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is the taqwa of your heart which reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indication to that the taqwa and the sincerity which you do, that is the main priority with regards to sacrificing the animal and also doing the other rituals and things which a person has to do at the time of Hajj. Further on in the last quarter, Allah Ta'ala mentions, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُونَ. This was the first ayat revealed which gave permission to the Muslims to fight against the kuffar if they are attacked, and in other words, in a defensive way. Prior to this verse, when before Hijrat, although the Muslims were greatly persecuted, but and the Muslims also requested Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that permission must be given that they can retaliate and ward off the oppression of these kuffar. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the order of jihad hasn't come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as yet. Make sabr and overlook whatever is being done to you. Ulama explained that approximately 70 ayat of this nature were revealed only then, after Hijrah, when the Muslims had settled down in Madinatul Munawwara, that Allah Ta'ala gave the permission, but the initial permission was only defensive jihad, that if you are under attack, then you can retaliate, and thereafter Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala at other places in the Qur'an Majeed gave the permission for the offensive jihad also, that for the upliftment of deen, and so that the word of Allah Ta'ala reigns supreme on the earth, it is permissible then to now make jihad against the kuffar. Towards the end of the surah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives a very clear example to demonstrate the absurdity of shirk. Allah ta'ala says that those who call out to besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can't, those gods can never even create even a fly, even though they all get together to try to do so. And Allah ta'ala says if that fly has to take anything away from them, from set on their food and took that small, hardly noticeable amount in its took that amount. لا يستنقذوه منه, they cannot retrieve it from that fly. دعوف الطالب والمطلوب, the seeker and the sought, both are completely weak. The seeker, referring to the mushrik who worships these idols, and those idols themselves, which are being worshipped, they are so weak in nature. In the last page, Allah Ta'ala then mentions that Allah Ta'ala has not placed upon you in your deen any type of difficulty, no command and injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the whole of Shariat in the Quran Majeed is such which is beyond the qudrat and nature of human beings to perform. Every order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is within our ability in no matter which generation, which change conditions, but every order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that we can make amal on. Those who claim that certain laws of Shariat are beyond our ability to practice upon in today's times, this is complete contradiction of these types of verses which appear in the Quran Majeed. Further, Allah Ta'ala mentions, Huwa sammakumul muslimin. Allah Ta'ala, O Ummat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has kept your name as muslimin. A great honor for the Ummat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they have been called Muslim by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. The other nations, the followers of the Anbiya alayhimus salam in their respective time were also on the true deen, but their name was not Muslim. Allah Ta'ala called them Muslims, only this Ummat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they are the ones who are truly submissive to the commandments of Allah Ta'ala, and therefore it is a great honor that Allah Ta'ala himself has called us a nation by the name of Muslimin. Allah Ta'ala give us true understanding. Subhanallah.